What's poppin', everybody? You're listening to Anime Junkies Threebs in a podcast, here to give you your weekly dose of all that is anime. Let's start the show.
All right, go and make some paper, boy.
What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Anime Junkies Three Weeks in a Podcast. I'm one of your whole hosts, Hihitsu.
And it is your girl, Chibi Leah, guys.
Unfortunately, Keisaki will not be joining us yet again. She is having a rough time, you guys. So please keep her in prayer and just, you know, let's just pray for Keisaki.
Yeah, she's having a bit of a family emergency this time, so she's not going to be able to join us, but hopefully she'll be able to join us soon. I know you guys love her and miss her voice and her antics, so she'll be back soon.
All right, y'all. Well, you know how it goes. We're going to start it off with how our week was, starting with you, Chibi.
We're starting with me? All right, well, I was sick.
You were? As a dog?
A real dog. Like
a real dog?
A real dog.
Not a fake dog.
I was sick as a dog, to the point where I was almost not to be partaking in a podcast episode, but it ended up getting pushed back, so I'm here. And I sound much better because I was congested to high heaven, and I sounded absolutely horrible and terrible. I don't even know what I had. The doctors don't even know what I had. I just knew I was dying for 7 days straight.
Yeah, it was crazy. They said they tested you for everything, like COVID, strep, flu.
And I think the craziest thing is that, like, I was actively freezing in 80-degree heat.
Yeah, that was the wildest part.
And I had no fever.
Yeah, that was wild.
So, yeah. But other than that, like, I have been watching anime. I have been, you know, deep diving a little bit more into the winter 2024 anime. And we came across this anime called Ninja Kamui. I hope I'm saying that right. It is on Adult Swim. And it has the infamous voice actor Kenjiro Suda. I believe that's his name. We all know who plays Nanami, Chigasaki, and My Hero Academia, and many, many more. And it goes fire. It goes crazy. It goes stupid. Episode one was dumb, ridiculous. It's like the John Wick of anime.
It go dumb?
It go dumb.
Where are you getting this lingo?
I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know.
It
go dumb, it go crazy, it go stupid. I don't know.
Oh my goodness.
Either way, but you saw it. How'd you like it?
Hey, it was fire. That episode, it was a lot of action, like literally back to back. It was very, very bloody. If you love the blood, then this is for you. Like, it was blood everywhere. I mean, people getting murked. I'm talking stabbed.
And that was episode one. So, and they did what they did. We're not gonna spoil it for you guys. They did what they did, and now he's in pure John Wick revenge mode, yeah. And it's about to get even bloodier. But like, yeah, it goes crazy. You guys are gonna enjoy it. If you like action, if you like bloody violence, this is for you. We also recently watched the Vince Staples show, and I'm going to tell everybody about it because I absolutely loved it, absolutely adored it. I was looking forward to this show when I first saw the trailer and it was announced, and I was like, wow, I love Vince Staples. Hisu loves Vince Staples as a rapper. We grew up listening to his music, Odd Future, all of them. So the fact that he got a show, it was hilarious. It was absolutely hilarious. If you guys are fans of Atlanta, it's giving that vibe. If you guys are just fans of the way that Black culture is highlighted in comedy drama series, you're a fan of this. And even if you are not a person of color and you just get it, because there's also some white humor in there too, if you just get it, you're gonna love it.
Yeah, no, it's apparently it's a short series. It's only 5 episodes, but it's every episode, it just gets funnier and funnier. And the crazy thing is no jokes are told.
None.
And it's all just basically a look at the life, supposedly, of Vince Staples.
Vince Staples, yeah. I still think what we witnessed was on some real true stuff, just overly exaggerated and a little bit more comical. But if he actually ran into someone he knew as they were robbing a bank trying to get a loan, that is some wild stuff.
Hey, bro, it happens when you're in the life.
That's very true. But yeah, that's all I've been doing. I really can't think of anything else. yeah, no, that's pretty much all I've been doing. Winter anime, fighting for my life, you know, dealing with YouTube algorithm. Guys, please, if you guys are YouTubers, I'm asking for advice. I really am. My first advice is, how do people get, or not my first advice, my first question for advice is, people, how do people get away with having clearly copyrighted visuals and audios, but they're not getting flagged for copyright by YouTube, and they're able to clearly have it being seen and heard on their channels? And then my second question is, how the hell are you guys processing these videos so damn fast? Like, my, I don't know if it's the computer, I don't know if it's the software, like, I don't know if it's YouTube itself, high traffic, but it takes 5 hours of the total time from recording to editing to processing. Processing takes like 2 to 3 hours for a 12-minute video. And I'm at my wit's end, guys. I'm at my wit's end because I can't solve it. And I'm tired of getting flagged for copyright when I see other people doing it.
Yeah, no, it's a lot going on. The music, the image in the background, like, they get away with a lot. But there must be some type of...
Is it because they're monetized? That's the only, like, plausible explanation left in my eyes. It has to be because they're monetized and they have hundreds of thousands of subscribers. And YouTube is just like, oh, yeah, you're fine.
It's possible.
But it's also, like, it's an upload and it scans. So that also doesn't make sense to me either. Whatever.
It's...
Unless it does get flagged and they dispute it.
It is, at the moment, a mystery.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you guys can answer me those questions, please do. In the DMs. Hit Chibi up. Please and thank you. Or write an email. I don't care. Just please answer them. All right, well, I'm done. What you been up to?
Oh, it's my turn.
Yeah, it's your turn.
Oh, okay,
I just had to ask that question because you know how I've been going through it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, me personally... I'm loving winter anime. Like I said before, I don't know if it was the last podcast or the podcast before that, but I am going back and checking out things that I did miss in previous seasons, but I'm also keeping up with the winter anime. And winter anime is not doing too bad for me. I actually am enjoying it. Now, would I say it's really doing its thing with Solo Leveling? I will say yes. With Solo Leveling, winter anime is doing its thing. Now, there's, you know, Shangri-La Frontier Part 2.
Yeah, that's picked up.
That's still doing its thing. And it's going crazy. Like, this fight is going crazy. Weatherman. What was it?
Weatherman.
Weatherman is going crazy.
I don't like how they ended that last episode that we saw, but I've been enjoying it nonetheless.
Yeah.
It has fallen off. Like, I don't really see people talking about it a lot on the timelines or socials like that, but it's going crazy. So if you guys have dropped it, I would highly recommend you pick it back up because it does pick back up and it's pretty enjoyable.
Right. And just like, you know, Chibi said, we watched the Vince Staples Show short series, and that was good. So other than that, life is lifing. Mm-hmm. I'm doing pretty good, though. Hanging in there, keeping up with the punches, bobbing and weaving, ducking and dodging, trying not to get sick, because this one right here was trying.
And you've done great. You're not sick.
This one was trying to get
me
sick.
I was not. You know, I slept in another room for a week. We didn't sleep in the same bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't give you any kisses or love or affection.
Tried to.
I did. When I started to feel better, of course.
Yeah, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then of course, you know, your boys in the gym goals are looking pretty up. I'm not, you know, missing anything. I'm actually trying to accomplish 2 more goals. So last year, my goal was to get a muscle up. For those who don't know, I got the muscle up. So I'm doing that, and I'm practicing on perfecting that this year. Mm-hmm. And now for this year, by the end of the year, my goal is to be able to do a handstand and a planche push-up. If I can't do the planche push-up, I at least want to be able to do the planche, but I feel like they go kind of hand in hand. So I might be wrong. I don't know, because I'm not that far into the calisthenics. But for anyone that's in the gym, you know, holla at your weed friend, Hood Hitsu. I'm trying to get tips and pointers, but all in all, I'm gonna get it done.
And my goal is just to do a simple pull-up, guys. And I'm and I'm well on my way. Hitsu gave me some pointers on how to like just train my upper body and getting the movement of pulling. I think I saw a video. Remember you were trying to explain to me how it's like not me using my arms, but it's me using like my back muscles more.
Yeah.
Well, I saw this video that says, try not to pull yourself to the bar. Try to pull the bar to you.
Yeah.
And that has helped me tremendously. I'm well on my way. We're gonna get it. I don't know how much longer it's gonna take, but we're gonna get it.
Yeah, but other than that, that's it for me.
All right, well, you already know we're about to move into, and that is our anime news. Once again, I'll be taking over for Keisaki, and I hope I can do it justice, because last time I was struggling a little bit.
Hey, y'all both be struggling.
I'm struggling a little bit. All right, here we are. This week's anime news. Haikyuu is back, y'all. The boys are back. The dumpster battle is now available in Japanese theaters only. US has not gotten it. We don't know when we're gonna get it, but I hope we get it soon. Renji Miyajima's latest manga series, which called the Shinju Family Children. If you don't know who this person is, they are the creator of Rent-A-Girlfriend. Well, that new series has now been announced to receive an anime adaptation. So we're gonna get some more of that. We have a few updates on some upcoming anime coming in April of 2024. So start to add on to those spring anime watch lists. Jobless Reincarnation Season 2 Part 2 is scheduled for April 7th. We got a date, guys. Black Butler Public School Arc is scheduled for April 13th. Data Live Season 5 is scheduled for April 2024. I didn't even know they kept making seasons of this anime. We're on the fifth season. Crazy. And romance anime has really been taking over. Another one called A Condition Called Love is also scheduled for April 2024. We don't have a date yet, but based on that trailer, it's looking very cute, guys. A new teaser visual and trailer has been revealed for an upcoming anime movie titled Look Back, scheduled for June 28th in Japan. Manga dub of Kagurabachi has officially been released on Jump's YouTube channel, so go rate that. Anime TV Japan did an interview with singer-songwriter Vic Blanca on his return to Black Clover anime, which is on YouTube. There also has been some buzz about an announcement coming soon surrounding the return of the anime. Maybe 2025, 2026, who knows? I hope it comes back sooner. So, what do you think of this week's anime news?
Hey, look, if Black Clover is coming back, I'm good. I'm good, I'm happy, because
we miss you.
Black Clover was a, I'm not gonna say was, Black Clover is a good anime.
It is a great anime. I slept on it. I did, like I did many.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't messing with it a little too much, but then I saw the error of my ways and the light at the end of the tunnel, and I can proudly say that anime slaps. And I'm tired of the hate that y'all be giving Asta. Like, if y'all love Naruto, y'all can love Asta, because they are basically one and the same. The same way that Naruto be yelling up and down that he gonna be the Hokage.
Yeah.
Asta be yelling and doing the same about how he's gonna become the Wizard King. And I see no problems with that.
Exactly. Exactly.
So cut my boy some slack. Thank you.
Now, I will say, even though Asta doesn't have magic, the anti-magic goes crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's going crazy. And when he actually got into his half devil form, that's what I'm calling it. That thing is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. And then we found out like the backstory of like what it is and his, and you know, his roots, his origin.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's fire. It's great. And if you haven't watched it and you're listening to this podcast, this is your sign to go ahead and give it a jump start. Now, I'm excited about Haikyuu. Are you excited about Haikyuu? I know we mentioned a couple podcast episodes that we were not too big of fans that they were turning this into a movie. And this is part one, which means there's going to be a part two. But how do you still feel that way? Or are you excited that it's a movie and that they're just coming back?
I mean, I'm just excited that it's back. Like, think about it. You have the final battle that we have been waiting for, that they have talked about the entire, like,
mm-hmm.
seasons of the show. Like, every season, they always talked about how it was the cat and the crow. They always used to have the best battles. Mm-hmm. And now they're bringing it back.
Do you feel like some of the hype has died a little bit because of the long gap that has taken place? Like, do you still... Like, I'm excited, but I don't feel myself being as excited as I was when, like, the latest season came out. And because, like, it's been years. Like, the gap has been so big.
Well, I mean, the gap, it does play a part. But if you really enjoy the anime, then once it's back, it's like it never left.
Right, right, right.
That's just honestly how I feel. So if the gap does do something for you and you go back and you're like, man, well, I'm not as hype as I was. Well, then maybe you really did just fall off of it. But once it comes back for me, it's like, wow, this is what I've been missing. This is...
I see where you're coming from, but that's kind of like how I feel with Invincible, right? Because like what they did with Invincible is just completely out of pocket. Like they waited so long for the second season and then the second season's here and then you only give us 4 episodes and then you make us wait months. You go on another break just for it to be another 4 episodes. Like, I'm not even excited. Will I still watch it? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I'm still going to watch it. But am I excited about it like I was? No. The excitement has died a little bit.
Okay. I mean, like I said, for some people, that wait can actually affect you. Like, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. AOT took forever to come back.
Yeah, it did. But like...
But when it came back... It's like it never left.
I would say for part one, I wasn't as jazzed as part two because, like, I was just waiting for that final battle to be animated. Like, I read the manga and I was like, oh, no, I want to see what MAPPA's finna do. I want to see what they finna bring to the table. And they brought the table.
Well, are you talking about the final part two?
So...
Are you talking about season two?
No. I'm not talking... Oh, season two. You're talking about season two.
Yeah. It took so long for
the comeback.
I thought
you were talking about the gaps in between the final.
Stop. Annoying.
Final.
Look. Season one, everybody was on it.
Yeah.
We was questioning everything. We needed answers.
It was 7 years, right? Yeah, 7 years.
It was a while.
I don't remember how... I feel like I was, like, still hype. I was like, yes!
Of course.
I was like, yes!
Of course.
Fucking finally!
Yeah.
Making us wait damn near a decade, bro. And that's also the same thing with Bleach. But that's also because we thought Bleach was done.
We did. I certainly thought it was again.
And they said 10 years later, boom, here we are.
Yeah.
But, yeah, are we excited for the next half, or is it too big of a gap?
Of Bleach?
Yeah.
I'm always excited for Bleach. Who you think you're talking to?
I don't know, guys. We want to hear your opinions. Does a large gap in an anime dim the excitement for you? Or is the excitement greater? Or is it about the same?
Yeah, it's different for different people. Yeah. So a lot of people will see it. They'll say, okay, it's been a while. I've lost it. But some other people will go back to it and be like, finally. Because I'll give you a better example. Season 3, Fire Force. How you feeling?
Oh, give it to me now.
Yeah.
I need it.
I'm going to need you to not talk about it like it's a side nigga.
I need it.
That's crazy.
I need it. I need it now, please. Why are you playing?
You an addict.
For Fire Force? Absolutely, I'm an addict.
That's crazy.
I'm a proud... Listen, inject me.
What?
I'm an anime junkie. Is that not the name of this podcast? Inject me with Fire Force. These veins are ready.
You taking it a little
too far. I'm not taking it a little too far. I need it injected into me. Like, Fire Force Season 3, where are you? Please.
All right, y'all. We're going to take a brief break.
Anyway.
Call for rehab.
We don't need to take a break for rehab. Okay, so Kagurabachi is getting a lot of buzz. And you don't read it, but it's. I feel like... We are very close to getting an announcement for an English print of the very first volume because we already got the Japanese print and it's sold out and it's doing well. It's constantly trending every new chapter, and I really pray that they don't do what they've learned their lesson with other anime and not adapt it too fast.
Please don't.
Where you don't even have enough chapters or enough volumes to adapt at least enough for a season one or a season two. And then now we're waiting years or going on indefinite hiatus like Black Clover.
You know, I definitely am not ready for this thing to get any adaptation. I need this thing to get 3-4 years in advancements of all the manga. So that way, when anything comes out, we at least have 3 or 4 years to not have to worry about it catching up. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the worst thing that can happen during that. When they catch up and then you gotta wait, or you gotta see if they even wanna continue or finish the manga. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes people go into it and they're like, okay, this is actually stressful.
Yeah.
I'm done. And now you're heartbroken. Because yeah. everything you thought you knew you was gonna get, you're not even getting anymore.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
give this person, the creator, writer, artist, you know, author, whatever you call them, give them time. Let them stack up. Let them stack it. You know
stack
what I'm saying?
That bad boy.
And just, you know, be patient, y'all. I know what it's like to be an anime only. If you're not an anime only, then obviously you out there enjoying the manga.
Well, to be perfectly honest, if you're an anime only, then and you just decide not to read the manga, then you're not really anticipating anything because you've never read it and you don't know what to anticipate other than just seeing the hype of social media.
That's facts. But in certain ways, because it's getting so hype, it does give us that anticipation, like, if it's really that good, then I wonder what it is.
Well, the thing about it is, maybe your anticipation is a little different than mine, because if I see a bunch of people talking about something, I'm gonna go hop on that manga and I'm gonna be like, what's the hype? Like, I'm not, because there is no guarantee that it's gonna get an anime anytime soon. It could take years.
Well, that's, like, and that's true. That's
like
true.
Demon Slayer came out in, I think, 2015, or did it end in 2015? I don't know. All I know is that some manga take years, if not decades, before it gets picked up and adapted. So,
and that's I get what you're saying, but what I'm trying to tell you is that if something piques everyone's curiosity to the point where it's everywhere, then it's gonna make us be like, okay, I actually want to see this get.
I'm picking up that manga, and that's exactly what I did, and I have no regrets.
Well, I'm gonna give you an example. When Solo Leveling first started to, like, really circulate,
because people were reading
it, mm-hmm. right? I knew nothing of it, but I did see little snippets that people would post on, like, I think Facebook, and for me, that was years ago. Like, right. I'm talking at least 5.
And to be honest, there was also no guarantee that that no was also going to get an anime either. Because,
well, for one, it's a
manhwa. Because fans for years were begging for them to adapt it. But like you said, it was a manhwa. And I actually appreciate that they actually started taking chances on adapting manhwas.
Right.
Not just Japanese manga.
Right.
And I hope they continue to do that. And then I hope they also give Chinese
Donghua's
a chance as
Donghua's
well.
Donghua's are fire.
Because they're fire. And I feel like if they were picked up by a Japanese animation studio, it would thrive. Because I'm going to keep it a bean. Chinese animation, so it's a hit or miss. And a lot of times they do miss.
No, not all the time.
Not all the times, but like a good chunk of them. I will say that they have been getting better. They have been getting better, but that's because they've been getting picked up by, like, Netflix studios. And Bilibili is also the go. Let's not go there. Bilibili is also the go.
Okay.
What's that Chinese anime that we recently watched?
Which one?
It recently came out. I cannot think of the name of it right now, but we did, like, a reaction video to it that we never posted.
What? Chinese
anime? Yeah, The Man. Nope, I can't think of it.
You're not talking about lookism.
No, that's not Chinese. That's okay. That's Korean.
Oh, okay. My fault.
Yeah. I can't think of the name of it, guys, but maybe I'll tweet about it. But I don't know. A lot of the fan-made Chinese anime also look pretty fire, but they don't ever get picked up for full-length series.
That's true.
So I'm hoping the same way that these Japanese animation studios are picking up manhwas, they'll do the same for donghuas as well.
Just pick up all of it. If it's really good and the people ask for it, they want it, obviously you know it's going to make you some money.
Well, clearly, I would say 2 + 2 = 4.
Yeah.
If the people are giving it a response already and it's just a comic or a web series or whatever, clearly it's going to do numbers if it's animated, especially like Solo Leveling. So
yeah,
capitalism, you can only make money.
Capitalism. Only an American would say that.
Okay, so before we jump into our topic, there's something I want to ask you. So Solo Leveling, so outside of the action, how do you feel about the plot?
Now, I will say it is a little interesting because most of these so-called, like, you know, stories have a initial goal. Mm-hmm. Now, in the beginning, I thought the goal was just to, you know, take care of his sister.
Like there's an end game.
Yeah, there's an end game. I figured the goal was to take care of his sister and, you know, pay off medical bills.
Mm-hmm. Or like, for his mother.
Yeah,
right.
For his mother.
I hope but he now, can afford enough to get treatment and fix her.
But now it seems like the only goal he cared about is getting strong.
I mean, he's also still doing the same goal of taking care of his sister. He's making more money.
But that's
he's
now,
able to supply bills because he's stronger. Because at first he was just weak and he was only taking what he could get as an E-rank hunter. And he was deemed the weakest. But now he's able to, you know, he has a goal where he's like, you know, I could get higher. Like when he was approached with the offer for 30 billion won. And he was like, that's chump change compared to what I could make if I keep going and become a high-ranking hunter.
That's crazy.
So there is still an angle, but my thing is, like, we don't know what the... what there's, like, no clear antagonist.
No.
There... we don't, like, is there a big boss? Like, what is he leveling up for? What was the purpose of the system choosing him and picking him to be the one to do all of these things? Like, what? Where is the end goal here? And I see a lot of people talking about, like, they love the fights, like A1 Productions is absolutely going crazy with the animation for the fighting, but they're not really falling in love with the plot because it just seems like, what is it? What is the plot? You know? What's the story?
Well, I'm gonna be honest. Right now, like I said, to me, it just seems like he wants to get stronger. Like, he's trying to see the limits of what this thing can do, if it has a limit.
I just want to know what the system is preparing him for. Like, you have him leveling up. Why? Why do you have him doing this?
Oh, so you think it's preparing him for something?
I mean, what else could it be? Like, you're just making him strong so he can become the highest ranking hunter and live a life of luxury and make money and be able to kill whatever. Or, like, are you trying to end this... these dungeons popping up randomly? Like, are you trying to end it? Like, what are we doing here?
I mean, if you ask me, it's like he said in the beginning, he's a player now and he's just in the game. So this is the game.
But the game has an end goal. Most games have an end goal.
Yeah, either beat it or lose. That's
what is he beating?
That's what the game.
What's the game?
The game is the things he's doing. Like, when he goes to those dungeons, that's not some, like, easy thing to do. Especially the one we just saw last with the Cerberus. Mm-hmm. Oh, he almost... you know what happened?
Oh, yeah.
So, literally, I'm telling you now, just based off of what the system is doing for him, yes, it is helping him level up. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean it's guaranteed to help him. It's literally just seeing if he can survive. Because at the end of the day, it's not giving him things that he could skate past. It never did.
That's true.
Even his penalty. Remember the penalty? When he was running in the desert?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was when he was still very much weak.
Exactly. I don't think this game, to me... now, your opinion, you know, it's your opinion. I think I
love it regardless. Like, I don't care if it has a plot. Like, I'm not that type of person that's too heavily focused on a plot, like, especially if there's a lot of action and it's meant to just be an action, like, packed anime. Like, if it's not an action packed anime and it's a lot of dialogue but ain't no plot and we ain't going nowhere, then what am I watching? Like,
what are we doing?
Honestly, I'm honestly be serious. I'm only really watching Solo Leveling, not for the plot. I just want to see him fuck shit up.
That's a fact.
I just want to see him get stronger and fuck shit up. That is why I'm watching. I'm not here. Anything else is icing on the cake.
That's why I said I feel like the end goal is just to see how strong
I just wanted to see your opinion on it, because I do see people having discourse surrounding that the plot is lacking in Solo Leveling, especially if they never read it and they're just like, I love the action and the animation, but the plot is not really pulling me in. Well, I don't think this was created much for the plot.
Nope.
This is a character-focused, plot-driven anime. We are not focused on anything externally that is happening. We are focused on the character and him leveling up from being weak to being one of the strongest people that has been... what am I trying to say? That has been equated to being as equivalently powerful as Gojo. So that was a little weird what I said, but I could not get my words out. Yeah, so bear with me.
You confused
the fuck out of me. I don't know. Like sometimes I don't know if like people feel like me, but my mind moves faster than my mouth. So I can't keep up with this sometimes, and I just end up saying anything in gibberish. So,
but I get what you're saying. Basically, we're just trying to see his limits.
Yeah.
We're trying to see how far he can go and if he can be what everyone says is a contender to Gojo.
Absolutely. And I think he is because, like, yeah, he gets stupid, crazy, dumb. Whatever that means. I know you tired of me.
Keep saying that shit.
Hey, yo, that's funny. All right, let's go ahead and jump into today's topic. Now, today's topic is going to be a plethora of different subtopics under one topic, and that is, what does it mean to be a Black weeb, and how has being a Black weeb influenced anime in mainstream culture? So, I've been...
So, basically, what we're trying to say is this is an all-Black topic.
Yes, because it's Black History Month. Hey, happy Black History Month to all of you beautiful, beautiful Black weebs, Black nerds, and just Black people in general who listen to this, and people who support Black people and the content that they create. Because, like, honestly, we would not be here without you guys. So we love you. We appreciate you. Happy Black History Month, guys. And we just want to highlight and share the beautiful things about what it means to be a Black weeb in the Black community and how we've been putting the people on and putting the shit on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Happy Black History Month. Now, unfortunately, they only gave us a month. It should be all year round.
It's all year round. And what's really interesting to me is I know that there are some people of color that don't celebrate Black History Month because they think it is a complete slap in the face to Black people, which it is. It definitely is, because Black history is all year round. It is not to be limited or dedicated to just one month, especially the shortest month of the year, which they did on purpose. But irregardless, here we are. And it's just another reason for us to be loud, Black, and proud. And I'm gonna run with it.
Yeah, we taking over. Look, you give us anything, we own it.
I feel like that is so true. We set the standards. We set the trends.
Right.
And that is why we see so much cultural appropriation, because we do set the standards and we set the trends.
And if you ask me, that's why anime is blowing up right now.
I agree. And I'm not being biased because I'm Black. I've been a fan for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I am now 29 years old. And
dang.
Shut up. Not you talking damn when your ass is older than me. Hey, you want me to tell your age?
Hey.
Amen. You get on my nerves. Anyway, I am 29 years young.
Oh, okay.
And I have been watching anime since I was about 4 or 5 years old. So I've been watching anime for a long time, and I've been seeing the evolution of it. And I've been witnessing the evolution of it. And I can honestly admit and say that it's not just Black people that have influenced a lot to the popularity, but it's definitely been a huge factor in the popularity of anime. Yeah, like, no. Let's keep it a stack.
Yeah, no, it's definitely facts, because the more, you know, Black people or people of color just kept putting on for anime, I noticed it started getting bigger everywhere. Mm-hmm. I started seeing more people wearing clothes with anime, like, anything on it.
And now people are more comfortable.
Way comfortable.
To come out and say, I watch anime. Like, it's like some cool trend now.
It's not even a trend. It's now, I honestly think, if you walk into a room, there is nine times out of ten, you're gonna bump into somebody that watches anime. And you're gonna know it. You're not even gonna get like a weird feel, like maybe they do, maybe they don't. No, it's like a, hey yo, I think this motherfucker knows some anime.
So that is what we're gonna discuss right now. We are going to literally unpack the evolution of anime and popularity in mainstream culture, and how being a Black weeb, how we grew up and watched it evolve, as well as highlighting some of the awesome people within the Black community that has helped to push the mainstream popularity narrative, especially after COVID. So let's start with you, Hitsu. So growing up, clearly you're Black, clearly you're a weeb. What was it like for you?
I mean, honestly, the younger me was about 10 or 11 when I first started. I mean, granted, I probably watched something younger, but wasn't...
You probably did.
It wasn't really, like, big until I got to about...
Or you didn't realize that it was anime.
Exactly.
A lot of people do that.
Honestly, you know, no disrespect, but we all just thought it was cartoons when we was kids.
To be honest, that's what it is. It's just Japanese cartoons.
When we was kids, we thought it was all the same thing. But when I got older and I actually started to really see what it was in depth and know the difference, that's when I was like, okay. So, you know, elementary school me, I was pretty okay because I was just, you know, the same. But when middle school hit, oh, it was bad. I was addicted to anime. I'm talking Naruto pipeline. I'm talking Bleach pipeline. I'm digging into, like, what is it called? All the old stuff. Like, I'm watching Astro Boy. I'm watching Samurai Champloo. I'm watching Cowboy Bebop.
And let's also not get into the fact that Saturday morning cartoons also included anime.
Anime. Yep.
They had Doremi, Mew Mew Power, even One Piece. And then there's probably, like, so many others in, like, my core memory that, like, hasn't... That's, like, deep, deep, deep down in my memory that I can't even think of. But, like, there was just a plethora of anime that we didn't even realize that we were watching that was anime. And it would come on, like, Disney DXD. I think they also played anime from time to time here and there.
Yeah, so, Adult Swim.
And then Toonami was created and life changed forever.
That's what I'm saying.
Life changed forever.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, man, look. And then... You know, just being around people, trying to start a conversation about it. Oh, you were the weird kid. You were the weird nerd who watched cartoons, which is crazy because we're in middle school. I'm pretty sure you watched cartoons too.
Yeah, which is crazy. Let's unpack that a little bit. I don't understand. Growing up at an age when everyone was watching cartoons, but if it was anime, it was considered nerdy. When anime went a lot harder than these weak-ass cartoons y'all was watching. I don't get that, bro. I don't get that. And to be honest, like, the reason I want to talk about growing up Black as a weeb is because we all know that Black people can be very judgmental. And if you are even a remotely bit different than the stereotypical standard, not only are you going to be judged from outside of people your race, but you're also going to be judged from the people within your race, and they're not going to get it, and they're not going to understand it, and they're also not going to even attempt to understand or try.
Yeah, no, it was definitely difficult, you know, younger me, especially in high school. You know, all the popular kids, they're not watching anime like that. It was like, you know, a small clique of us that was watching it, and we all just hung together. We you know, kept it to ourselves. We weren't real big. And of course, people talked about it, like, oh, look, it's the anime nerds. Like, you know, okay, cool.
At least you had a clique. I was solo doloing.
Solo dolo.
My clique was Keisaki.
That's funny.
When I was younger and I was growing up, I used to get in trouble a lot. I was a manga reader, big, huge manga reader. I also watched a lot of anime too, because the anime that I would watch, either they would, like, stop seasons or they wouldn't continue. And I was like, no, this is unacceptable. So then I came across the Barnes & Nobles manga section, because my mother was a huge reader and she would always bring us there. And I fell, and I was like, oh my god, manga. There was black and white manga, they were thick, they were small, they were color. I was like, this shit's crazy. I felt like a kid in a candy store. But yeah, I didn't have a group of friends that liked anime or manga. It was just me, and I kind of felt a little bit like a closeted weeb, because, you know, my black friends were, like, not into it, and anytime I tried to talk about it, they were like, they would give me that look like, girl, what are you talking about? We don't watch that. So I felt like a bit of a loner. And then it got worse for me in college, in high school and college. Like, I actually stopped watching anime in college because nobody I hung out with watched anime. And I was hanging out with them all the time. And it just became a thing that kind of faded. And it wasn't until I met Hitsu again that I, like, re-fell in love back with anime, because I was like, oh my god, he's a weeb. I'm a weeb. We're all weebs. And I was like, oh my god, he grew up watching it. I grew up watching it, and we bonded over that. And ever since then, I've been locked in and loaded, and have fallen in love with it more than ever.
Yeah, no, he definitely came back. It was definitely a different experience for you, though.
Yeah, completely.
Because once I got to high school, and then moved on to college, I didn't care what anybody said about me liking anime, to the point where I would mention it so much that people around me would just be like, oh, wait, you watch anime? I'm like, yeah. And they'd be like, oh, I watch anime too.
I wish I had that.
That's what I did. Like, literally, I was the guy in college that had the anime hoodie. I was the guy in college that always had like some type of paraphernalia on my bracelet or like a Green Lantern ring. I was corny a little bit.
I think the closest I probably got was like the Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh cards, because it was like everyone, whether you were a fan of the anime or not, you watched Yu-Gi-Oh and you watched Pokemon, and you at least collected the cards because it was a nice fun little game. Or Beyblades.
Do you play Beyblades?
I did. I played Beyblades.
I did not know that one. Mm-hmm. I loved Beyblades when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Actually, like 2 years ago at a DreamCon, this guy came in with a board and we all were just playing it in the middle of the exhibit hall.
That's where you disappeared too.
Yeah, it was fun. I was like, I haven't played this since I was like right before teenage years. It was fun. But no, it's definitely just a good feeling to be around someone that just could appreciate it just as much as I did.
Okay, so since we're like, you know, we talked a little bit about our childhood and you know, growing up Black and loving anime, how has that influenced you as an adult today?
Okay, well, honestly, first and foremost, I'm still fucking watching anime.
Here we are, right now. We got a whole podcast.
And if it wasn't for anime, we wouldn't have the podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, me and Chibi wouldn't have started our YouTube. Mm-hmm. And then you got all of my friends. I mean, literally every single friend I have, except maybe like a couple, are weebs. Mm-hmm. We love anime, and
we be texting each other about it all the time.
We talk about it. We have debates,
watch parties, debates. Be like, yo, you watched that episode of One Piece? You saw that episode of Attack on Titan?
Yeah.
Like, it's great. It's wonderful. I love it. And clearly, it's also influenced me, not just out of the podcast, but it has influenced my creativity. Like, I've always been a creative person, but it was just something about anime that has really, like, jump-started it and made me just want to create. That's how I got into video editing. Those anime reels and Instagram videos that you guys see on the page. And then that's also what like set it off for my film. Like, my first film was about anime, and I don't know if I'll continue to write films about anime, but I will always remember that my first film was deeply rooted in my fandom of being an anime fan. Yeah. Of being an anime fan.
There you go.
And it's gonna be at a con where there's gonna be people just like me who also love anime and comics and things like that, and it's just opened up my world.
Not to mention, even when we travel, we started traveling more because of anime. Mm-hmm. We did not know that there were so many events we could go to.
I never went to conventions as a kid.
Never.
I didn't even know that anime conventions existed. And maybe it's because I just didn't have a community or a tribe when I was growing up. So, you know, knowing those things, like, I didn't know those things. So my first anime convention was as a grown ass adult.
Yeah.
And it was a Black convention.
Yep.
For weebs.
There you go. Now, granted, we do have Otakon, but when we were younger, it's not like we just knew.
Yeah, no.
Like, you had to like go downtown and just so happen to see people wearing their cosplays to know Otakon was happening.
Or Katsukon.
Like, it's not like it was advertised everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Well, I was just talking about in our city.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, BlurCon in DC. It's no advertisement going on for that. When we were kids, I knew nothing of it.
Nothing.
And to be honest, I don't even know. When did BlurCon start?
I don't know, but I don't know when any of these started, but...
I think Otakon's the oldest, right?
I don't know.
Well, I've always, like, when I was a kid, used to see that downtown, like, around the same time. But I used to think it was just a comic book convention. Because I would see comic book characters more than anything.
I mean, there are like conventions that are like not specifically for anime. They're just like for everything. It's kind of a general. It's for manga. It's for anime. It's for comics. It's just for any.
Right.
Like New York Comic Con.
Anything and everything.
Yes.
Yep.
And then you have like actual anime conventions that are specifically for anime. Either way, didn't know any of these things existed because, like I said, I was a closet weeb. I was growing up. None of my friends liked anime. And here we are.
So, yeah, we've been to conventions now. We've been to several. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we're going to keep going.
Absolutely. So now that we discussed that, I want to also bring into the fact that I also had no idea that there was a Black anime community. I thought that it was just being a fan of anime and then the boom of social media, Twitter, Instagram, things like that. Like, I thought it was just, if you like anime, you just had one big community. But then you grow up and you realize, oh, people of color who like anime are very racist against Black people that like anime, to the point where it's like super excessive. Like, they can't even breathe, they can't even cosplay characters, they can't even draw characters.
Let me tell you,
without like being like, you shouldn't cosplay because they're not your skin color and they're not your skin tone. Like, there is like some type of dominance that they take over because the characters are fair skinned and closer to their complexion than ours.
Right. But let me make something very clear. All these people are supposed to be Japanese.
Yeah. Now there are a couple of anime that are European. Yeah, but also you're starting to see Black characters too. And no one ever said that you can't be Black and Japanese.
Look, man, it's a fictional character. I don't give a fuck if you were blue. Put that shit on.
For real.
Why can you not play anybody?
And why are you so bothered? I never understood racism. I truly believe it is a mental illness, because you are getting so bothered by skin tone that you have completely dehumanized people.
Yeah.
You don't even see them as people that have feelings.
I don't see how you can literally be just going about your day, going on social media, and when you see a Black person cosplaying as somebody,
it just fucked up your whole mood.
It just makes you so mad.
Up your whole mood.
And then you have the nerve to comment and say all these hateful things. Oh, he's not supposed to be a Black character. Or they'll be like, oh, the nigger version of this.
Or
like,
cosplay someone your own skin color and skin tone. And I'm like, oh, well, like, come, let's be for real, guys.
Look, check this out. I don't give a fuck who you are. You are not going to tell me who or what I can cosplay as. I want to be if I want to be a robot dog that's supposed to be Korean, I'm going to be a robot dog that's Korean. You're not going to stop me. And your criticism just proves how uncomfortable you are.
But that is why the Black anime community was created, because we started realizing that just because we like anime, it is still hard for us to integrate into these spaces. Like just being a fan of anime should have just been enough.
Right.
Because we share a mutual interest.
Exactly.
But you had to bring racism into it. And now we have to go and create our own spaces in our communities, which we have always done. And it's not just limited to anime. We've always had to come up with something for our own and just have our people feel safe and express themselves. And I'm actually glad that I found it, like creating this podcast and talking about it, following people and getting to know you guys has been one of the greatest pleasures of my life. It had brought me out of a deep depression that I was in when we started this podcast and COVID was around, and everybody knows how extremely hard COVID was. And just having the Black anime community, I met so many awesome people that I actually call my friends, that we have established very close and very deep bonds, and I'm forever grateful for it, because going on there and just seeing Black people talk about anime always boosts my mood. Now, it can get a little problematic from time to time, I ain't gonna lie, but
we focusing on the good parts.
Yeah,
we're
focusing on the good parts, and it has been an honor to be a part of this community.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I love it. I love when people, you know, tell us how they enjoy our content. We also love how people talk to us, get us better acquainted on things, mm-hmm, so that we have better knowledge. They give us good pointers. I love the recommendations.
Absolutely.
If you give me a recommendation, listen, I watch it. I might not talk about it, but I guarantee you, you gave me a recommendation. You give Chibi a recommendation, Keisaki. Well, I don't know about Keisaki, but we'll do it. Like, we just appreciate the feedback, the love, the support, all of it.
Yeah. All right. So now that we have, you know, integrated ourselves into the Black anime community, we just want to take some time to really talk about, like, ever since COVID happened and people were locked in our houses, the boom of
people were locked in their houses?
Yeah, we were all locked in our houses.
Oh, we were all locked in. I thought you said we were all locked in our, like, I thought you meant like they were all locked in our houses.
Now, why would I say
that? I don't know. It sounded weird when you said it.
I said we were all locked in our houses.
We were all locked in our houses. I thought you said you were all locked in our houses. I don't know. That's what I heard.
Whether it was you or whether it was we, everybody was in the house. Everybody was in the house.
We was locked in the house.
We was locked in the houses, man. They wasn't in our house.
It wasn't in ours. I don't know.
But yeah, everybody was locked in the house and we just saw a massive boom, not in just social media, like social media content creation in general, but especially within the anime community, like to the point where it's become a little oversaturated. Like, I love it. Go crazy with your creativity. But we have seen like cosplayer booms and these black cosplayers be putting that shit on.
No, they do some serious fucking work.
They putting that shit on, okay? We see content creators or people that do reviews and it has made them like get tickets to premieres of Netflix shows and Crunchyroll shows where they're being invited. Crunchyroll partnerships. We have Twitter spaces, Clubhouse spaces, all types of things. We've seen the growth of more podcasts because when we first came out, there was only a select few of black podcasts. But then there just seemed to be a boom and spike, and us included, we also started a podcast during COVID as well. And because of so much content being pushed by black anime fans, it really put into the perspective black people watch anime.
Yeah, not to mention the artists who do all the clothing brands.
Oh, hell yeah.
You've made being a weeb so much better because I remember when I used to try to get just one little piece of clothing. It was always the Koski clouds.
I mean, they still, listen, the black community will never not
use them
Akoski cloud agenda. They gonna have at least one piece of merch or a couple of items or a collection dedicated to the Akoski clouds.
That's a fact. But like, hey, I mean.
But they made wearing anime fashion fun. Because at first, it used to be ugly. I'm not gonna lie. The clothes used to be dead ugly. I did not want to buy it. And then like, Black content creators and just people in general and artists started creating really cool looking anime clothes to the point that now celebrities wear them, like rappers and sports people. And you see a celebrity wearing some anime shit, it's going to be like, oh, anime shit is cool. And it's going to paint that perspective to the audience and to the public.
Not to mention, they gave us variety. Like,
hell yeah.
It used to only be a certain amount of anime.
It was always the big Naruto, three. Bleach, barely Bleach, mostly just Naruto.
Yeah, it was
hardly like, One Piece.
It was always the same little group of anime apparel. But now they've got all kinds of stuff. You can wear almost any and every anime you've ever seen. They got Black Butler stuff, they've got Attack on Titan stuff. I mean, if you really think about it, people have gone back and made gear of older anime.
Yeah.
So it's like, now the perfect time. Like
Zatch Bell.
There you go.
Collection.
Oh, Zatch
or the Yu Yu Hakusho collection.
Zatch Bell.
On top of that,
fire.
We have Soul King or Solar. Mm-hmm. He made the Sailor Moon collection in the bags in the Hunter x Hunter collection.
Man, somebody did a Shaman King line.
Mm-hmm.
Fire. Come on. Are you telling me I can now wear not only the anime that I loved back then, but in a fashionable way?
Mm-hmm.
Not just to wear? Mm-hmm. Not to mention, we got, what did you say, the affiliation with Crocs?
Yes, yes.
And Demon Slayer?
We also now see, because, you know, the popularity and, like, the cool stuff that, you know, independently owned brands have been making, like other now well-established brands are now starting to do their own collaborations. Like the Demon Slayer collab for Crocs we just witnessed, as well as they're now doing a Naruto one. I'm not too big of a fan of the Naruto ones, but Michael B. Jordan, I think he had done a collection. I do not remember the brand exactly, but Vans have been doing anime collections. I believe, Low is a luxury brand. They did a Studio Ghibli collection for Howl's Moving Castle, and they were selling like $300 wallets and $2,000 bags, hand painted and stuff like that. So yeah, it's starting to integrate into mainstream popularity. And I think it has a lot to do with Black anime fans.
Yeah, definitely. It has to do with the fans. It has to do with the content creators. It has to do with these spaces. Because now, it's no way we aren't seen. It's no way we are not in the room. We're everywhere.
We're everywhere.
And we're only going to get bigger.
Yeah. And if you guys have been paying attention to the Crunchyroll Awards, like everyone, it's no surprise that Meg Thee Stallion is like one of the peak celebrities that's known for loving anime. She's loud about it. She does cosplays about it. She recently, the brand Oh My Senpai, she wore their, I believe, robe as well as the sweatsuit that they came out with. And now she's going to be a host at the Crunchyroll Anime Awards along with the singer Labyrinth. I don't know if you guys are fans of Labyrinth. I love Labyrinth. If you've watched what's that show? Euphoria. He is like basically the main artist that produces all of the music and all the albums for the series. So he's gonna be there. And we're just starting to see Black people integrate more into Japanese spaces surrounding anime, like the Yasuke, Yasuke. The Yasuke anime, yeah. And how we had the creator, he actually was in Japan, right, at the MAPPA when they were announcing it. Like, he got a personal invitation. Like, that's crazy. That's wild. Like, we don't see that as often as we should. And I want us to see more of that, especially as we evolve. And then to make things better, we're actually starting to see more black anime characters in anime, and they actually are starting to look like proper representation.
Right. Not just that dark little figurine with the big pink lips on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know who I'm talking about.
Okay.
Dragon Ball.
Yeah, we got Omiya Capone, Attack on Titan. That was a recent anime character, and he looked great. We have Carol from Carol on Tuesday, looked great. Ogon from Fire Force looked great. Like, we're actually starting to see more integrations of properly represented Black anime characters in anime. And I think that also has a lot to do with Black anime fans' influence on Black culture, because they're like, all right, well, let's draw them the way that they look.
Yeah,
the way that they are.
They're now starting to actually make up for all of those dumb designs they did before. But first off, let's just give a special shout out to Bleach, because they never did us wrong.
They never did us wrong.
They never did us wrong.
I will have to agree. I will have to agree.
Representation on 1,000 in that show.
Mm-hmm. So, what do you anticipate will happen in recent years? Because I know the streaming platforms are already acting up because of anime, and they're trying to milk the cow.
Oh, yeah,
they're
going crazy.
They're trying to milk the weed cow.
They're going crazy.
For all the money that it's worth. I don't know if you guys know this or heard of this, but Peacock and Paramount Plus don't really have anime on it, but they're also now doing a merger. We're seeing mergers. They're seeing that the streaming platforms have certain shows, a lot of them being anime, that they are witnessing has a lot of money, and they're trying to take hold of it and manipulate it. So how does that feel being an anime fan? Like, do you feel it's for the better, or is it pushing more people to piracy? Because now it's becoming completely unaffordable to use streaming platforms to watch anime.
I mean, let's be honest. When it comes to anime, we thought that it was always going to be piracy in the first place.
Because they weren't there.
They weren't there. There was no streaming platforms back then. And if we did watch it, we had to wait for a certain time. We couldn't just watch it on demand when we wanted, where we wanted. But if I had to give examples, Naruto Wire, we're not going to say that there wasn't sites out there that we could just go straight to and we could get it. The only problem was, our computers would get sick from using it all the time.
Now listen, now they done fixed it, because now computers are a lot more durable than they used to, and they can handle it.
They have way better.
But every time my mom would be like, why is your computer broke? And I'm like, I don't know. I knew exactly why. I was pirating the anime.
And let's be clear. This is back then. Back then, it was the only way we could watch the shows we wanted to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the only way we could watch the shows that wasn't even being shown in America. Because how else would you know that all these other shows came out when they didn't even come on television? So that's how we found out about those things. Mm-hmm. And that's how we got into that deep dive that, wow, there's so much more out there. It's not just these things that we see. It's way more. So yeah, pirating, I feel like back then it was a must. It was the only way. But now streaming platforms are giving us that ultimatum. Is it worth it or is it not?
Especially, I forgot to include this on in the news, but especially since Crunchyroll has announced that they're increasing their prices.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Well,
because the merger is officially done.
Oh, it's done.
Or
oh, wow.
It's coming to a close, and they've officially merged with Funimation, and Funimation will be shutting down their site. And because of that, they're no longer double dipping.
Right.
Because people were doubled, still had their Funimation accounts, and they also had their Crunchyroll accounts.
Which
so they
I
were
do
like,
not understand.
We're making money from that, and we're making money from that.
Yeah.
But now that it's over, they're like, since we're no longer double dipping, we're going to have to increase the prices so that we can keep getting that money in.
They want that double dip money.
They want that money. So they're now increasing their prices, and I think that's a load of bananas, because we have been like, the merger was announced what, about a little over a year ago and
yeah,
a lot of the anime that was on Funimation have already been being watched on Crunchyroll, so I feel like we're not even really getting anything different. Like, the anime is already there and it has already been there, so I don't see the reason in raising the prices.
Yeah, no, it's like I said, it's all about, you know, that ultimatum. Is it worth it or is it not worth it?
I also feel like that's why they increased Netflix's prices, because Egghead Arc is now on there, and I don't get it. Y'all skipped like a plethora of arcs,
yeah,
and just went straight there. And you know why? Because you know that One Piece is bringing you money. Ever since that live action, One Piece is bringing you money. They know people are going to do it. They know people are going to pay for it. And I'm tired of this, Grandpa. Make streaming platforms great again.
That's a crazy phrase to use, but okay.
Yes, yes. Listen, I am no supporter of that man, but the logo slaps. But
the logo slaps.
listen, the logo slaps, but the man saying it's the messenger. It's the messenger.
Not the message.
Not the message.
So in this case, we just gonna reword it. Make streaming platform. I ain't saying that all that. All right, check me out. So, yes. If you ask me, is it worth it? I would say no. But is it going to be a problem? I don't think so. People going to pay for what they want.
I don't know, man. Like, it's getting to the point where it's impossible for people to pay, because people can't afford life anymore.
Yeah, life is really going
crazy. The economy is just getting so bad in terms of everything is being raised but people's incomes. And people can't even combat the cost of living, because jobs don't even raise your annual incomes to be the cost of living.
Yeah, no, the raises.
So it's
are
getting
not
to
raising.
The point where it's like there will be no money for anything outside of your bills and food and necessities.
Yeah.
And if you keep raising the prices of these streaming platforms, people are not going to watch. That's why I got rid of my Disney Plus.
Mm.
Because Disney Plus kept increasing their prices, and I'm like, why? Is it because you got some anime on there now? You got Tokyo Revengers. You stole Tokyo Revengers. You stole Undead Unluck. You stole
Bleach,
and now you want to raise your prices? Outrageous.
Yeah,
outrageous. And that's why I said, is it pushing people to do piracy? Because they're splitting it up. They're splitting up anime to like 3 or 4 different streaming platforms that you have to purchase at a minimum of anywhere between $10 to $16.
You know, it's definitely,
and that adds up,
a huge spike. It's definitely a huge spike in apps. But like I said, for those who really think it's worth it, they'll do it. But for those who don't, catch me on the ship. Catch me on the ship with my crew.
Either way, guys, all that's to say that being Black and being an anime fan has definitely blossomed over the decades, where it is now more accepted, more popular. It's become a trend. It's opened up a whole new world to people. It has unlocked people's creative sides. It has become influencers. We have cons dedicated to us now, where we can feel seen and feel safe and feel celebrated. We have cons that didn't make us feel seen or celebrated, now integrating that into them. Like for the first time, I think two or three years ago, RDC Row, which has been around for years, got their first invitation to Anime NYC, which is crazy because they've been fans and have had millions of fans for years prior to that invitation because Black people are starting to make it more popular and more mainstream. And people see that, which is why prices are getting increased for cons, mm-hmm. which is why we see they're now integrating influencer badges, because who makes up a good chunk of these anime influencers? Black content creators.
Right.
Well, we definitely... Not saying that there are non-people of color influencers out there, but I started to see they're integrating influencer badges once we started to see so many Black content creators and cosplayers and things of that nature.
Yeah, no, these people, we as a culture have definitely been blowing up anime.
Especially with the success of DreamCon over the years, to the point where they end up being on Forbes 30 Under 30.
Yeah. So it's nothing we can say, but we taking over.
All in all, guys, we just wanted to highlight how special and how great it has been for us to be Black and in this community. And if you are somebody who wants to get further into the community and find your tribe, you know, you don't have to always integrate with groups or people that you see on social media or online, because the community can be a little cliquish, and there's nothing wrong with being cliquish. It's just they found their tribe, and you can find yours too. I found mine. Hitsu's found his. Keisaki, we don't know about her, but she maybe found hers. Just go out.
She has us.
She does. We're her tribe. But just go out there, talk to people, attend cons, and you'll find them.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to be yourself. Mm-hmm. That is the number one thing that I have learned
absolutely
throughout the years. Absolutely. And when you are being yourself, that is when people tend to enjoy you the most. Mm-hmm. Now, not everybody clicks with everybody, but when you are yourself, people that tend to enjoy you as you are is way better and easier on your mental than trying to pretend to be something you're not.
Mm-hmm. And I have another piece of advice. So I know that there are some people that like to compartmentalize their socials. I used to do that. I still kind of do that. I have my personal page, and then I have my Chibi Leah page, and then I have, you know, the podcast page. But I started to start integrating anime into my personal page, and I actually came across people that I didn't even know watched anime that watch anime, and we have things to talk about. So don't be afraid to show people you grew up with that may not like anime that you watch anime, because you just never know. You never know what you have in common if you just keep hiding all of your interests because you think it's nerdy, or you think it's like too weebish or whatever. Be weeb, be nerdy, go in being yourself, and you'll always win.
Yeah, no, being yourself is the key in this factor, because when you go out to those spaces, those people, they want to see who else is out there, who else they can find that vibes with them and can potentially be good friends. I mean, I'm gonna be honest, I've been on a couple of cons, several cons, me and Chibi, and we've met people and we still talk to them to this day. Mm-hmm. And
some of my very good friends have come from becoming an anime fan in this community. Yeah. Like I was able to make my film because of my weeb friends that flew from different states to come ride out for me and help me shoot this thing.
I'm telling you, it's a serious thing. So, like Chibi said, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Be yourself.
Don't be like me. I used to be afraid.
If you're antisocial,
and now I don't give a fuck.
If you're antisocial, start something small. Do the social media pen pal thing. You know, integrate your weebness into your personal pages, social medias, all of that. Because eventually,
start that podcast.
Somebody
start that,
will be there. Like,
make that content.
Yeah, if you want to do a podcast.
Start that Discord. And no, Discord may not be for everybody. I know personally for me, it's a bit overwhelming because I just cannot
Discord
keep up with all
lot.
Them people talking.
Discord is a lot.
I have tried many times. It is not for me. But, you know, do whatever you need to do and that fits you to find your tribe.
It is. All right. Well, you got anything else?
I've got nothing else. It's maybe a bit of a short one because Keisaki's not here to give her opinions and her two cents, but we hope that we did a good enough job with just the two of us and you enjoyed listening to this episode. And once again, we want to highlight every single Black creator, whether you have a podcast, whether you have a clothing brand, whether you are a writer, whether you are a manga creator, writer, whatever, comic book, whatever it is that you do in this community, we love you. We appreciate you. We are fans of you guys. And happy Black History Month, guys.
All right. Happy Black History Month. Listen, tune in to us next time. Like always, we appreciate y'all. Continue to listen to us, rock with us for a whole nother year, because we have a lot more to come. And hopefully, we will bring you some amazing content.
We pray. Until next time, guys.
Deuces.